Preaching's been done this morning. We can't get any better than that. Pat, I've known Pat for right at 30 years, I guess. A lot of years. I was going to say privileged. And that's really the truth. Been her pastor for quite a while now, about 20 of those years. But she and Frida are a couple of believers who understand what the Bible means when it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. They take that very seriously. You can't find anybody anymore that's been doing much of anything for 60 years. So our congratulations to you, Pat. Very, very much. Amen. You guys are doing a pretty good job. These folks over here seem to be forsaking the assembling of themselves together for some other reason, you know, whatever it might be. I promised we'd have prayer for some folks this morning, and we're going to do that right now. If you'll join me, please. Father, prayer's been requested for a man who has cancer and not that long to live. We lift him up to you and ask you to give him strength, especially ask you to give his family strength and encouragement during this particular time. Lord, we know that when we have these kind of problems that you are a very present help in our time of need, and we thank you for that. Lord, we're thankful that no matter what kind of a situation we find ourselves in, you promise never to leave us alone. And we just want to thank you for your faithfulness and all that you do for us. Father, we don't love you like we should, but we love you. We love you as much as we know how. And so we want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all things, because you're certainly worthy of all of that. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, every Sunday we pray together and we ask Jesus to come into our hearts. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, to just bow your heads for a minute. Would all of you just bow your heads? I want us to get alone in this room as best we can. And that's the way we do it. We bow our heads and we close our eyes, right? And because I want to ask you a question. If you're here today and you don't know whether you're saved or not, some doubt in your mind, or you just know that you're not saved, and right now the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, speaking to you. Nobody's looking around. So I want to ask you to do something. If you'd like for us to just pray for you, for your salvation, would you raise your hand? Just stick it up in the air. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Is that everybody? All right, thank you. Father God, you saw these folks who were testing to find to the fact that they want to know about their salvation. Only source I know of to teach them that is you. And so I ask, Lord, that right in this very moment you would speak to their hearts. Tell them of your love for them and of the terrible price you paid for their souls. And let them come right into your arms. Lord, thank you for such a blessing and for such a reality. We praise your name because of it. Now, while your heads are still bowed, not looking around, you've been a Christian for a while, maybe a short while, maybe a long while. But you couldn't say that you just really sold out and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You get crossways with him a lot. But you know it's not right. And you want a deeper, more meaningful, more effective walk with the Lord. And you'd like for us to pray for you in regards to that this morning. Nobody's looking around. Would you raise your hand? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. And Father, you see these hands. Would you do the same for them? Lord, would you teach them that you've got something planned for their lives, something wonderful that they can't even imagine. And would you bless them and draw them close to you? Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness and for all that you do for us. And we love you for that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to preach the rest of this sermon next Sunday, I think. But I'm going to preach part of it to you right now. Because I think it's something that, we just prayed about it, as a matter of fact. Jesus said a strange thing in the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Didn't that sound a little strange to you? The meek? The word meek, it's found in the Bible, it's changed a little bit in its real meaning over the years. So I want to talk to you about the meekness that Jesus is talking about. Let me assure you this. Meekness is not weakness. You got that? Meekness is not weakness. Now, in our language, we tend to think of somebody that's milquetoast and can get pushed around and all that sort of stuff is being meek, but that's not the Bible word. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am what? Meek and lowly of heart." How many of y'all think Jesus was a pansy, a pushover, a wimp? Huh? Does anybody here think that? I want you to know Jesus was a man's man. I mean, a real man's man. And yet he said, "I'm meek and lowly of heart." So what's he talking about here? Well, I told you that meekness is not weakness. So what is it? I'll give you an illustration. Since they've been training horses and other animals to do our will, like being able to ride them or use them to plow with or some other useful kind of work, since that time, a term has been used in describing those animals that have been trained for that purpose. They used to say, and some of the older folks even say today, that horse has been meeked. That horse has been meeked. That oxen was meeked. That mule has been meeked. What do they mean? Same horse. Same fire in its belly, same strength, same everything, see? But because the horse has been meeked, there's a harness or a bridle and a saddle, and it submits to being ridden or to whatever it is that the one who owns it wants. That's being meeked. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," he's talking about somebody whose strength has been brought under control. Their strength is brought under control. Got the same strength, got the same ambitions, got the same desires, but they've been meeked. Looking around at the modern church, just seems to me like there's not just a whole lot of meek people in it with that definition. You see, when we got saved, We have ambition still. We have characteristics still. We have things that make us unique as a person still. God didn't take any of that away, but He intends for all of those things that we have to come under His control. And until they come under His control, we cannot understand what meekness is. And because Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," we are going to be extremely limited as to the blessing that He can bring to us. I want You to bless me, Lord, but I want to be in charge of everything I do. If I want to get drunk, I'll drink. If I want to fornicate, I will. Whatever it is I want to do, I'll go ahead and do it. And God said, go ahead. But forget about blessedness. Just forget about it, because it's not going to happen. Maybe it's about time we got meek. Did you ever think of that? You folks that have horses, if you got one that won't obey you, you don't think much of him, do you? And you probably won't have him very long. You can let horses run free and do as they please. Or you can do the opposite of that, which some people used to do, and they'd cripple that horse so that they couldn't run free. Or you could meek the horse, and he'd accept your saddle and your bridle and you on his back. God would like for us to submit ourselves to Him, and in that regard, be meek. Now, let me tell you something from my heart. Folks, we are entering a time in history where Christians are going to have a pretty tough go. That's okay. It'll make us stronger and make our lives more meaningful. But if we're going to go through that time, we need to be sure that it's not us that have the reins, but it's Almighty God. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, if you wouldn't, submit yourself to Him. You submit yourself to God, you submit yourself to His Word, and then you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Those three steps are the things. So I asked you a while ago if you wanted to have a closer walk with the Lord, if you wanted to be more committed. So let's go back to bowing our heads again right quick, can we? Would you do that? Let's just bow our heads. I'm just going to call on you this morning to submit yourself to whatever it is that God has for you. Now, you don't have to do that. I mean, you can walk out the door and do as you please. I'm just calling on you to do it. I'm calling on you to start reading God's Word, not to read it to decide whether you agree with it or not, but just to accept it as God's Word and be obedient to it. I'm asking for you to say this morning, to the Holy Spirit, here I am. Take charge of me. I want to be obedient. I want to stand up for what's right. Be counted among the faithful. So right now, Lord, I'm asking You to take me that's been part of Your family for whatever time and make me what You want me to be. You see, folks, all of us are going to die. We just don't know when, and some sooner than others. And all that stuff that we've been accumulating is not going with us. The only thing that's going to go with us is our character. That's going to be there throughout eternity. Don't you think it's a good time to get that straightened out? Get the Lord in charge? I don't know about you, but I hadn't done a very good job with myself. But God sure does a good job. So I'm asking you, would you do that? Would you ask him right now, Lord God, take charge, take control, change me to be the kind of person you want me to be? Would you do that? Now, you may be here today and you've never accepted Christ, and there were a number of hands that went up a while ago. I hope you understand that this is a very serious moment for you, because here again, you can walk out that door and never change. Or perhaps the Holy Spirit is drawing you so strongly right now that you'd like to invite Christ into your life as your Lord, as your Savior. And this be the time to do that. Now, church is going to help me with this part of it. But if that's what you want, and you repeat these words after us or with us, would you just say them to the Lord God? Because he knows what's on your heart anyway. Heavenly Father, I'm lost, and I ask you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for everlasting life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Would you do this for me? Somewhere around you on a table or in the back of a pew, there's a sheet that looks like this. Would you find one of these somewhere? What I want you to do, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, is to put the date and your name on there. And, you know, your phone number is very important. Check this down here that says, I prayed the prayer for the first time to accept Jesus as my Savior. And you want to check the one that says, I'd like to talk with the pastor. Would you do that too? And then we'll be able to get in touch with you and tell you what the next step is. Not kidding you now. Just being very, very serious with you. And I trust the Holy Spirit is moving you to the point where you'll be serious too. This is a kind of a special day. I knew when I went outside this morning that the Lord was up to something, and he has been up to something. You know, he's let his lackey, Satan, loose to test some folks. He's done that. He's managed to take other folks and get them completely out of the fellowship situation. You know, I mean, he's just working, but it's because he's got something so fantastic that he wants to do in his family. And this is how we get started, okay? So you fill out that thing, leave it where you are, we'll pick it up, and we'll be in touch with you. Fair enough? Okay. Well, I said we'd heard the good sermons, and I couldn't resist one little one. So we got that done. And I don't want you to faint, but you're getting out of here early today. Yeah, you are. Okay. Let's stand. Hey, Clay. I kind of feel led to ask you to pray for us, would you? Yes, sir. All right, thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pat and Freedom and the real wonderful testimony. Thank you for the love that's in this church.
Amen.